Hello, this is Pastor Becca Bateman of Doylestown Presbyterian Church. As our podcast audience continues to grow, I want to thank our loyal listeners and welcome those who may have just recently found us. We know that life can quickly become so busy, so this podcast offers an on-the-go opportunity to hear Sunday's sermon, along with a scripture lesson from that day's lay leader or preacher. We also encourage you to visit our website at dtownpc.org to learn more about our church and all the diverse ministries. Thank you for tuning in. Our New Testament scripture today comes from Luke chapter 24, 13 through 35. If you'd love to follow along, do so by opening up your pew Bibles to page 90. Listen for these words as they fall afresh on us today. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still and looking sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and about how he was handed over to the chief priests and leaders to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it has now been the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and they did not find his body there. They came back and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us then went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe that all of the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into the glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. As they came near to the village in which they were going, he walked ahead of us as if we were going on. But we urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking on the road, while he was opening the scriptures for us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Dear God, you are always with us, and you are with us as we hear this scripture again today. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts as we feel your presence. Amen. Now, with all of the tools of modern archaeology, they still do not know the exact location of Emmaus, though they have narrowed it down to a few possibilities. Tradition tells us that it's just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, and I think it would be so meaningful to be able to walk and talk spiritually and physically along a place where Jesus and Jesus' disciples were, and they physically stood. Others have found it very meaningful to walk in places of faith, whether it's where a disciple had walked or a place where Jesus had walked, to see the places and feel the stones beneath your feet. One of those places is the Camino de Santiago in Spain. It's a wonderful trail that has been a place for pilgrims for many, many years to find their faith and to physically walk in a space. It has become much more spiritual. And I want to remind you that it's a thing that pastors like to take their congregation on really meaningful walks, like in Spain. What do you say? Camino 2026? Anyone? We'll talk about it later. But in all seriousness, the walk to Emmaus could be a physical place, or it could be a physical or not physical place, just a thoughtful place. And it led John Dominic Crossan, a theologian, to think, what if not having an exact location for Emmaus prompted us to wonder? Maybe it's not a particular event in the past, but instead maybe something that we experience over and over again. Now, I would argue that we need several moments in our life, over the course of our life, regularly, so we can have that sort of spirituality. And I think it's one of the reasons why we come back here to this space, in this place, with this community, so that we can continually have these real life experiences with God. So what do we actually know about what happened on the road to Emmaus? Well, our scripture for today happens right after the account of Easter. And in this chapter, we find disciples encountering the risen Jesus. Earlier, we hear about the women who went to the tomb, did not find him there, and so they went and told the disciples what had happened. And after our passage, we have the very familiar Jesus visiting the disciples, but Thomas was not there. And so right here in between, we have another account of the risen Lord encountering disciples. Now, I noticed the intimacy of the two companions that were walking along this road. Two disciples trying to understand it all, seeking solace with one another. And one is named, and the other is not. And we, of course, can assume it's just another disciple. Perhaps it's a friend. Perhaps it's their wife. And it also leaves a little space, because it could be you. As they walk, they are absorbed in their own thoughts, completely oblivious of this new person who has joined their journey unannounced. Now, it actually is pretty scary. They were so vulnerable in speaking with this stranger, they could have been reported for supporting this Jesus. And they had quite a threat to their safety. Yet even still, they were fearless in their vulnerability, and they share what they're talking about. Jesus. Now, the gospel writer discloses that the stranger was Jesus himself, yet veiled in maybe grief or confusion, they failed to recognize their beloved Savior, just as the women had encountered Jesus after the empty tomb and an unrecognizable Christ, despite their devotion. The scripture continues that the stranger asked them what they were talking about, and they stopped dead in their tracks. But with their whole hearts, they recounted their hopes, their doubts, their encounters with Jesus, which were so personal to them. But now they simply don't understand. And at this pivotal moment, Jesus comes to them and meets them where they are. And it's an invitation in his Scripture 101 class, and he's got 7 miles to talk with them, so he spares no details. With infinite patience, Christ unveils the mysteries of Scripture and the wisdom that comes alongside them. And then when they arrive at their destination, they engage in that dance of hospitality. I should go. No, you should stay. Stay a little bit longer. Are you sure? No, I don't want to be a burden or anything. No, please stay. The day is done. The darkness will be too much for you. Stay. So they sit down for some sustenance in this meal together, and in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened. And they behold Christ is in their midst. And yet then, in the blink of an eye, vanishes. leaving their hearts burning. Have you ever experienced a aha moment too late? Now, just as the women encountered Christ earlier and now, the profound realization of the moment has passed, and they too run and tell the disciples. Now, we might be puzzled why these scriptural accounts have beloved disciples not recognizing Jesus. But isn't it also a challenge for us when we try to recognize Christ in our own midst? And isn't it the scripture that encourages us to recognize Jesus? You remember the story, the woman at the well who encountered Jesus as the Messiah and then goes and tells everyone. Or in all of our encounters with the hungry and the sick and the poor and the thirsty, those who are sick and in prison, we are to recognize Jesus in them. And likewise, the man from Samaria, an unlikely candidate to help, the man who had been torn and robbed on the road. Jesus also calls us to recognize him in the provision of the feeding of the 5,000. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Christ and God as a rod and a staff who comforts us. And Jesus encourages his followers to recognize him in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup in the Last Supper. So when was the last time you saw God face to face? Well, while I was contemplating this, I ran across a poem by the Reverend Sarah Speed entitled, "The Last Time I Saw God Face to Face." And I enjoyed the poem, and it also sparked me to write my own poem. When was the last time I saw God face to face? The last time I saw God face to face, I was looking closely at the daffodils popping up from the damp ground. God was every shade and hue of yellow. They matched the sun, as I remember, though our sensitive eyes are careful to never look at its fullness. I was so small and completely in awe. The time before that, we ran to smush our faces against the window. The dog beat us there first to see who had come to visit. And with our home filled with company, we were also filled with love. And the time before that, the roads and the fields were soft with snow. God was the quiet that tucked us all in. Then there was the time I didn't feel alone when I heard the news, when the doctor seemed to be speaking a different language, when we said goodbye, when we said hello, when we heard an understanding word after we heard hard ones, when we felt the presence of God as a rod and staff in the valley of a shadow of death. And in between these small gifts, there were newborn babies stopping to count worms on the sidewalk after a rain on their moving day, homemade bread, and the sound of church singing on a Sunday. I wait for the next time I will see God face to face. Surely, whether it's outside, inside, expected or not, it will fill my heart with warmth. Emmaus happens every time we recognize God in our midst. And in my faith journey, I recognize God in the many Sunday school teachers that I've had over the years. And as a high school student in the adult education classes, that they would scooch aside and leave a space for me physically and in my curiosity. I recognize God in my seminary experience when I knew that there were big conversations happening globally and worldwide, and also with myself. As I had a seminary professor who was a Pentecostal, and he was invited to sit with the Pope to have great conversations, and yet also invited me to office hours for my questions and curiosity. I've met God on retreats with young people and not so young people. And various people in churches have also inspired and taught me. I'm always curious what you're reading and listening to. Just this week, I received a text from a congregant who was interested in a podcast that they thought I would like as well. And another congregant was telling me about a book that they were reading that I had read a long time ago. So I picked it up again so that I could see the new truths unfold, as happens when you're reading a book for a second time. The story on the road to Emmaus reminds us that even in moments of doubt and confusion and despair, Jesus walks alongside us, patiently revealing himself in unexpected ways. And just as Christ opened the eyes of the disciples to recognize him in the breaking of the bread, Jesus is present with us today, ready to reveal himself if we're just willing to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds. And we carry with us the assurance that Christ is with us on our journeys, no matter what. And for this journey, we're going to need some sustenance. And so we have our communion waiting for us, just as Christ was at the table with his disciples. Christ still meets us here again. Amen and amen. Thank you again for joining us today. Once again, I invite you to check out dtownpc.org for information about our worship and programming for all ages.